Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is Galatians chapter 4. We'll be focusing on three passages this morning. The first is out of Exodus 20 concerning the fifth commandment, and I know that you're familiar with that, so we won't read that in particular at this time, but we'll read from Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7, and then a portion from the book of Ephesians. Galatians 4, first of all, verses 1 through 7. I'll start there. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. And then if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, the next book after Galatians, Ephesians, beginning in chapter 5, verse 21, and we'll read into the first few verses of chapter 6. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the books of Galatians and Ephesians. Well, once again, we have come to that day of the year called Father's Day, where we seek to honor the fathers that God has given us. But I have noticed over the years, both in my preaching and in others, that when Father's Day sermons are preached, unlike Mother's Day, where mothers are honored and where we thank the Lord for them, for the gift they are to us, so often Father's Day sermons are focused on fathers who aren't being very faithful. Fathers who are being called to better faithfulness in their role as fathers, instead of seeking to honor them, fathers are pretty much exhorted on Father's Day. One particular Father's Day stands out to me from years past. I had finished my seminary studies and graduated and was on my way with my parents returning to the state of Iowa where I grew up. And we stopped in Wyoming at this church that was not a Reformed church. And the pastor that day took a plastic trumpet with him up to the pulpit. And he had four or five points where he wanted to call fathers to faithfulness. And before each point, he got out his plastic trumpet, and he went, and there was a call to faithfulness, a call to fathers to stop being unfaithful and to be more faithful in their roles as fathers. And while I don't remember too much about the points of the sermon, I certainly remember that trumpet and the point he was trying to make, exhorting fathers to be more faithful. Well, this morning I want to do something a little bit different than I've done in the past, and as most Father's Day sermons often come across. And that is, instead of exhorting fathers in how they need to be more faithful in their roles, to focus a little bit on that commandment, that fifth commandment, which tells us not just to honor our mothers, but to honor our fathers and our mothers. The fifth commandment, which reads, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." What does it mean to honor your father? And how should we honor our fathers? Why should we honor our fathers? Well, you remember when this commandment was given in Exodus 20, the Israelites were saved from the land of slavery, from the land of Egypt, and God brought them to Mount Sinai where he gave them this command. And as they received these commandments, they stood before the face of God. God spoke to them. He reminded them of the deliverance he had provided for them. And then he spoke to them as they stood before his face. And for the Israelites, there was no question about who was in authority and who had ultimate power over their lives and over the world. For when they stood before the mountain, we read in Exodus 20, that they saw thunder and lightning. They heard the trumpet and saw a mountain with smoke, and they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance, and they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." As they stood before the face of God, they stood before God in fear. They saw his power, they saw his authority over their lives and over the world. And they asked that Moses speak for them because they recognized that before the face of God, they could not stand at peace. They needed someone to come in between, and for them, that someone was Moses. Well, as God gave to them these commandments, the commandment, the fifth commandment, was concerning authority. God was in ultimate authority, and they were fearful of him as they stood before his face. And now as they continued to live their lives, he told the Israelites, "Honor your father and your mother." You see, God saw it necessary that even as they lived their lives on earth before his face, that they recognize their need for authority in their lives. And the authority that stood behind their fathers and their mothers was God's authority. When they saw and recognized their fathers and mothers and honored them, they were honoring God. Because they have been equipped with authority from God, which God has given them and placed before them, so that children can learn to honor and respect God. The first institution that God gave to us in the scriptures is not the government, not the president or the police force. The first institution we read about in the book of Genesis is the family. And in that family, fathers and mothers, God begins to teach children what it means to honor and respect God. As they recognize the authority that God has given their fathers and mothers, they recognize God's authority as they live before his face. Now, one of the laws in the books of Moses, which often causes people to wonder about God's ways, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 18. believe. Got the wrong reference here. Deuteronomy 21, I'm sorry. And in that passage, Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, God instructs us what to do with rebellious sons, or what the Israelites were to do with rebellious children. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Now, when people read that command from Deuteronomy 20, it horrifies them. Who would ever think of doing something like that? How could God give a command like that? Well, it certainly is an Old Testament command, but we also must recognize why God gave such a command. Because in the Old Testament, as they saw it then, a rebellious son, rebellious against the authority of his parents, was in rebellion against God. That's why it was so serious. His rebellion against his parents was rebellion against God. God has given parents his authority. And the way that we treat our parents is the way we treat God. When we do not honor them, we do not honor God. And as God showed us there in the Old Testament, that was a serious, serious thing. Well, when we come to the New Testament, I read to you a moment ago from Galatians chapter 4. And you notice as Paul writes this letter and he leads into chapter 4, he tells us this at the end of chapter 3, verse 26, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ, you've clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. By God's grace, we are brought into the family of God. We belong to that covenant seed and are heirs to the promise." Well, how did that come about? Well, we read about that in Galatians 4. "So also," verse 3, "when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of this world." In Exodus, Israel was in slavery. God delivered them from Egypt, from the land of slavery. In verse 3, Paul tells us that we were in slavery, slavery to the basic principles of this world. But then, verse 4, "when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you who are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir." You see, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from slavery, he has brought us an even closer relationship with God than they had in the Old Testament. Christ has made us one of God's sons. God becomes our Father in a more intimate way than they ever knew then. For as Jesus was God's Son, so does his Spirit work in our hearts that when we belong to him, we also become God's sons, God's children. And as Jesus cried out, "Abba, Father," Abba, translated in our language, means daddy, so we also have the privilege in Christ Jesus to call God our Father. Our Savior has given us that relationship. He is our true and faithful Father. Sometimes people might say, well, what about me? I don't have a father, or I never knew my father. Well, Galatians 4 reminds us that when we know Christ and when we know God, we have our God as our Father. And He is our faithful Father, and we look to Him as we would look to a daddy. Well, what about our relationship with God? What about how we are to live before His face here on this earth? How do we live out this authority that God has given our parents? Well, Paul spells that out for us in Ephesians 5. You see, we have, as Galatians has told us, God as our Father. God our faithful Father. But on this earth, we also have been given the command to obey our parents. And the institution of the family still remains. And in that institution of the family, God has to work out the authority structure for our benefit. And we see that in Ephesians 5. Starting at verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. In the fifth commandment we read, honor your father and your mother. That means that God has given authority to both parents. Both parents, as they carry that authority, represent God's authority to their children as they teach them, as they guide them in their life. But as Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, God has even set structure to that particular authority. The husband, verse 23, is head of the wife and carries the most authority. As Christ is head of the church, verse 23, so is the husband, the father, head of the home. And the wife, verse 23, is to submit to the husbands as to the Lord. The church submits to Christ, so do wives submit to their husbands. God has given them both authority over their children. But in their relationship, As they witness to their children as one, fathers and husbands are over their wives, and they function together as one unit representing God. And so then, when we come to chapter 6 of Ephesians 5, Paul picks up on what the Old Testament speaks to us concerning the fifth commandment. Notice what he tells us in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You see how he adds the phrase, not just children, obey your parents, but it's in the Lord. As children are called to honor their parents, they honor the Lord. As they obey their parents, they obey the Lord. Someone might say, well, but my father or my parents weren't good parents. Maybe my father wasn't faithful to Christ. Maybe he didn't know Christ. Maybe he didn't live his life for Christ. Maybe he mistreated me. But what does he say in the first verse? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents only if they've been faithful. No, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, there's instructions to parents, isn't there? Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. There's a warning to fathers. that they need to be faithful in their role and as they serve the Lord. And some of them, most of them, as sinners, fail. But yet, God still commands that we honor them. Whether we've known them, whether they've been faithful or unfaithful, we are still to honor them. Why? Because God has given us a father, and that father represents God. Now, sometimes people don't do a very good job of this, and that's why Paul writes what he does in verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. As Paul quotes the fifth commandment in verse 2, you notice the difference between what he writes here and what we find in Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, we read that we are to honor your father and your mother so it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life in the land. But as Paul writes, as he quotes this commandment, he writes, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Another Father's Day that stands out to me was one a few years ago, before my days here, where I spent a Father's Day preaching in a prison. And it was interesting as I went into that maximum security prison and we talked with the chaplain. And he said, you know, folks, you're probably going to have a nice crowd here today. If it was Mother's Day, you wouldn't have as big a crowd. On Mother's Days, the prisoners are lined up by the phones, calling their moms, wishing them a happy Mother's Day. But on Father's Day, most prisoners don't bother. And most often the reason they don't bother is because they've had a bad relationship with their father. Maybe their father wasn't around. Maybe their father wasn't a part of their life. Maybe they're bitter against their father by something he said or did to them in their past. But because of the way they responded to that in their life, they never learned to honor authority. And as they failed to honor that authority, they found themselves rejecting their father's authority and the authority of the law. That's why they're in prison. Now, certainly, they've committed their own sins and they've done their own things. Yet for a person, no matter what their father has done, to allow themselves to become bitter and rebellious against all authority, that, Paul says, will shorten your life on the earth. God has called us to honor fathers and mothers. And some people honor them in different ways. He doesn't tell us specifically how you're to honor your father or to honor your mother. But we can honor them as we honor God. As a child, if you're standing and living your life before the face of God, would you look to God and say, and because you don't like what he's saying, pull a face at him? Or mumble something under your breath after he's instructed you concerning things? Well, you wouldn't dare. Well, if you wouldn't do that to God, and you know that your father carries God's authority, you shouldn't do it to him. That's honoring him. As an older person, when your father is, when you're no longer living under his roof and you've got your own family, Do you say to God when you get older, well, God, it was great to have you when I was younger, but I don't need you anymore because I'm older and I'm gone? Well, of course not. You need God all of your life. Well, as a child, you need to honor your parents all of your life. Maybe you don't need them the way you did before when you were younger, but you can still honor them. And every person has to work out how they can best honor them. Sometimes it's being respectful. Sometimes it's remembering them or letting them know that you're thankful to God for them, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. That's honoring your father and your mother. And as you honor them, God will bless you. We talked earlier about that commandment in Deuteronomy, how God gave those specific instructions to the state of Israel of how to handle a rebellious child. Well, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, as Paul lays out how God has given people over in this depraved world to the sinfulness of their hearts and their minds. In the list that he writes concerning murderers, homosexuals, God-haters, he includes in that same list in verse 31, those who disobey their parents. You see, even though Deuteronomy chapter 21 doesn't apply in this world and in this community the way we see it today, God continues to view disobedience to parents as a very, very serious thing. And those who grow up learning that and living that need to wonder how long their life will last on this earth and how long God will allow them to live and how long he will bless them. This is why God has given us this command. And it's an important command. It's one we need to reflect on and be thankful for. And so on a day like Father's Day, instead of coming to you this morning and exhorting fathers on how they can be better, let's give thanks to God for the fathers he's given us. Let's give thanks to God that he has given us a father to represent him in the lives of our children and in our lives. And let's give them honor as we honor the Lord. May God equip us and strengthen us to do the same. For as we honor Christ, as we honor our fathers, we honor him and give him the glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word and how it speaks to us concerning fathers. We're thankful that in this world you have given us authority in our lives, authority which we can learn in a practical way through the parents that you have given us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us recognize, especially as children, that as we honor our fathers, we honor you. We pray that you would help us through our whole life to give thanks to you for our fathers and to honor them in a way which you only deserve. And Lord, as we seek to do this, we pray that you would equip us and give us the strength to always recognize that you are our faithful father above all. And that, Lord, even though when our fathers fail, we can trust that our heavenly Father will never fail, and that whatever relationship he's given us with our fathers, we can give thanks to you and be blessed by you because our fathers have given us life. And Lord, as we continue to live this way, may you give fathers the strength to be as faithful as you have called them. Help us to recognize the important role it is to represent you in the lives of our children. And Lord, may we be faithful in that so that as they look to us, they may see you. We pray now that you'd continue to bless us in this day. We give thanks to you for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.